Awesome. I'm reading from Luke 18, 1 to 7. The parable of the persistent widow. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice, because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?"
Morning, everyone. This morning I'd like to talk about faith, but as I come to think about this topic of faith, I realise it's also something which is from time to time quite contentious, and also something which is quite personal, and also something which may be quite threatening. I remember going to a church one time, and the theme for that service was on healing. And they had scriptures there about how God heals and how God does things, and they carried on. And there was a person at the front of the church in a wheelchair, obviously not very well. And I was wondering to myself when they're going to address something and actually do something, that maybe because they're talking about healing, maybe this is just something that they're going to do in their heads. Are they actually going to do something that, because there might be someone like this person here is very obviously sick, are they going to do something about it? And they didn't. And I thought, well, maybe I need to pray if no one else is going to. So I went ahead and prayed for the person. And a few days later, it was made very, very clear to me that in that church, you don't do that. And so there's an understanding and there's a belief, but it doesn't follow through into doing anything about it. And you have your understanding about God, and that's it. Don't challenge it. You have your belief about God, that's fine, but don't challenge it. And what I do with my understanding and my belief, don't challenge it. But God is saying in this parable, he's asking this question: when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? Now, that's not the question that the disciples were asking. The disciples had failed many times and really struggled in what they were doing for Jesus. Jesus was teaching them how to minister to other people and exposing them to different situations, and often they got it very, very wrong. And so the question that the disciples were asking was, "Lord, increase our faith," because they saw that maybe the solution to the way that we can minister and help other people better is to have a bigger faith and a stronger faith. But Jesus is asking a totally different question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Yeah, your different attitudes towards faith. You've been able to observe these or notice them from time to time. There's the pick and mix faith, where you choose the things that you want to believe for because they're easy and obvious and they can be attained. There's no threat or fear of failure. So I'll take the things that fit, and I'll leave the things out that are too hard. We talk about building a work-life balance into our daily routines so that we have the right proportions of each. And I want to add something else into that we have a work-life faith balance, where faith is like if faith is everything in this room, and this is the world that I live in, somewhere within this arena of faith, I've got to balance my work and life, but it's in the context of having faith. And sometimes we will choose the things that we find are easy to have faith for, and we'll go for those and we'll leave the rest. Another type of faith that we may have seen, and you may have experienced it from time to time, is conditional. I'll have faith in God when I have needs. When life is good, God is good. I'm in control. The Warriors are winning. Well, they didn't actually win, they lost. But I think you get the picture. When life is good, God is good. In fact, I don't need faith. I can live without God. And I've noticed that living in this country, and one of the interesting things is living here for a while and alternating between here and a developing nation, is that I can live here without faith, but over there I'm exposed to different situations where I need faith. Then when life sucks, everything goes belly up, turns into pear shape, whatever expression you want to use, for life is not good. Then often we'll turn to God. You take the global financial crisis, a lot of people turn to God. You take 9/11, the churches were full for months afterwards. And then gradually as the impetus or the depth or the impact of the tragedies or difficulties were overcome, people stopped coming because they were back in control of their life again. Here's a conditional faith that's based on our needs. God warned us of that in Deuteronomy chapter 8. It says, beware when you have houses and lands and you've got married and you've got children and you've got crops and everything is going well, beware lest you turn away from the things that you knew. There's another type of faith, and it's a fake faith. We use things to substitute a real faith, and we put our faith in other things. In the Western society and in a culture I'm familiar with, we have an empirical-based faith. That means it's scientific. That means basically if you can see it and you can prove it, then it's true. And if you can't prove it, it's not true. That's oversimplifying things, but I think you understand the concept there. It's very much like saying that if there's a problem, you'll see that the way we deal with problems in this country politically is money and education will solve all our issues. And if we've got enough money and we educate the people, then we can solve all our problems. It's a fake faith, and it's a bit like, for example, forgiveness. Is a very hard concept to talk about, but forgiveness requires faith. Very hard to prove it unless you experience it. And someone said faith or forgiveness is, or unforgiveness is like eating rat poison and waiting for the other person to die. And some of the things we say, well, it's important to forgive, but we don't really realize the importance till we're caught up in it. In comparison, people from non-Western countries, there is a greater awareness of the spiritual realm, a greater awareness of the interaction between what we have in the natural and what happens in the supernatural. And one of the things that I have learned most about living in another country is learning from them what their level of faith and the way that faith is as a natural and normal part of their life. And there's another kind of faith that I want to mention, and this is a faith with attitude. It means that when we go through life, it doesn't matter whether life is good or bad, but while we are living in our daily lives, there are things that we are prepared to attempt and do that we have not considered or been asked or thought of before. You are never too old. There is no one who is too young, and there is no one too old who cannot develop an attitude that I can live with faith. But this kind of faith with attitude requires courage to take on spiritual risk. We live in a climate in many countries now where a company will proudly say safety is our first priority. And if I see a company with that slogan as right up there, safety is our first priority, I don't want to deal with them. Safety first is a message that we are being given, which is contrary to a life of faith. God doesn't want you to be safe. He wants you to be obedient. And being obedient requires faith. Safety comes down the track. It's not our first priority, even in aviation. Faith with attitude means that you are prepared mentally. You have accepted the fact that in my job, I need to continue with professional development. In your spiritual life, or in my spiritual life, I still need to be exposed to spiritual growth and spiritual development. I don't know everything yet. There is still revelation that God wants to show me. There's still things I don't know about God that He wants to show me. There's still things I don't know about myself that He wants to show me. There are things about how to live with other people and to share the faith and what it is to pray and what it is to minister to other people that I don't know yet. And I want to learn. I want to be exposed to that. And I want to continue learning so that desire to adapt to change and accept that I'm not there yet is a faith, is a life that we live with a faith, with attitude that is going to keep us still learning. One of the difficulties, though, is it is often maybe costly in terms of time, or dollars, or convenience, or personal preference. For when Jesus comes again, will the Son of Man find faith? Or maybe I should say, when the Son of Man comes, when Jesus comes again, what kind of faith will He find? What kind of faith am I living? Have I put limitations or restrictions on my growth, on the development of my faith? I'm very aware this morning that there are people here connected with the church, or either now or recently, who have gone through difficulties. There are a number of our older people who passed away. We have Steve and Joe. They have been part of this church for many years, and now in Australia. And if you're not familiar with them, they... Steve has had an eye problem, which was found out to be a melanoma, and that has spread, and so going through the whole regime of treatment and appointments, and there's a lot of uncertainty about what is happening in the near future and how far you can even think in the longer term. And at times like that, it is really difficult and it does try our faith. But this morning, I'm not really wanting to deal with that question of how we deal with or we reconcile our faith in terms of difficulties, except to say that what God wants is for us to develop and understand what faith is. And as we understand who we put our faith in and put that into practice, that when we find the difficulties or we come into times of difficulties, we handle them differently. It's a bit like you get a flat tire. It's too late to start doing push-ups on the side of the road to build muscle mass so you can get the wheel nuts off. Right? You've got to keep the energy so that physically, when you get the flat tire, you're physically strong enough and able to take the nuts off. As we practice faith in the good times, when difficult times come, we can manage better. And so Steve and Joe have got this dilemma of uncertainty and a threat to their life and their families. but at the same time they have a peace and a joy and a comfort. One doesn't cancel the other out, but the two can exist because they've learnt what faith is in the good time. If you have questions and going through something difficult, you have a pastoral staff here who can help or point you in the direction of others to help you walk through those times so that you can come out the other side with a clear knowledge of God and have grown through the experience, because God is who he says he is, and God will do what he says he will do, and you are who God says you are. So what about faith? Well, faith is actually essential. You can't become a Christian, you can't have salvation without faith. It's through faith you save, nothing else. Can't buy it, can't earn it, can't have it inherited, can't pass it on to another person by proxy, can't do that. Paul makes it very clear in Corinthians that we walk by faith and not by sight. We can go through making decisions on the basis of what we see and understand to our own limits, or we can use another criteria of what God might say or what God might expect or what God might have input into that situation. We walk by faith, not by sight. Paul says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says this: without faith, it is impossible to please God. There is no way that you can please God or bring honor to God without faith. It's an essential ingredient. And as we look at Corinthians chapter 13, Paul mentions there are three things there. The Corinthian church was very proud of their the gifts of the Spirit and how God was ministering to them. And they valued tongues and prophecy and knowledge. Those were the highest gifts that they used in the church. But Paul said, well, there are three other things that, regardless of your level of spiritual maturity, regardless of how clearly you see God, regardless of anything else, there should be three other things that should be seen or manifest or known within that within your congregation and within your lives that are actually greater than these gifts, and that is faith and hope and love. And then when Paul writes later on to the Thessalonian church, he commends them for these things. He says to them, I give thanks to God for all of you, constantly mentioning in your prayers, remembering you before God and Father, for your works of faith, your steadfast hope, and your love. So it becomes part of your godly character. Faith results in worship. Many of the instances there where there has been an expression of faith, people go away rejoicing, and faith will bring that result. And so God's concern is, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? The disciples' concern was, will you increase our faith? So that brings the question of, how much faith do I need? Jesus gives the example of a mustard seed. Now, the mustard seed is really, really tiny. It's not the smallest seed ever, but it's small. And it's the smallest seed that they were familiar with. And when you plant the mustard seed, it can grow into a huge tree. And in response to that question, Lord, increase our faith, Jesus said, if you have faith as big as this mustard seed, you'll move mountains. And so I want to say to you this morning, there is nobody here in this room who does not have faith. You all have faith. Even if this is the first time you've ever, ever, ever in your whole life ever been into a church, I want to to say to you, you have faith. Otherwise you wouldn't come. We may not have put it in words, we may not have understood it like that. But every time we pray, every time we sing, every time we speak words, every time we read the scriptures, underneath those things that we see and do and participate in, there's faith, and you all have faith. I've listened to some of the testimonies that have been spoken, and a few weeks ago with Andrew and Trudy, and what was mentioned there was not the focus on the difficulty, but the focus on who are they looking at. There's faith. Well, Joey says, yeah, it's difficult, but we in ourselves are okay. Why? Because of the faith. You have faith, and you say, well, how much do I need? I say, well, you don't need very little. You have it, you don't need very little. So then the question is, say, well, what if I've got faith and I've really only got a little bit, what can I do with that? And we notice in the Gospels there are several occasions where Jesus is interacting with the disciples, and there are a number of cases where Jesus says, you are of little faith. And it's not that he's condemning them, it's not that he's putting them down, it's not saying that they're inferior, it's not saying that they're not good enough, it's saying you've only got a little bit. And it's a bit like a rugby coach at halftime. Was a coach to, if you're winning, he's not going to let you slack off. And if you're losing, he's not going to let you become defeated. He's going to rack you up, he's going to stir you up. And so when Jesus is saying, you have little faith, to his disciples, he's saying, come on, guys, pull your socks up. Come on, guys, you can do better than this. Come on, guys, you've seen what you've done in the past. Okay, you stuffed it up this time, but there's more opportunities. This is not failure. This is an opportunity for you to learn, an opportunity for you to grow. And so they say, okay, I've got faith, but I've only got a real, real tiny little bit. What can I do with that? Well, if I gave you a mustard seed, you could stick it in your Bible and it would keep it clean and dry. And in 10 years' time, what would you have? You'd have a mustard seed in your Bible. Well, you could do something else with it. You could take a risk. You put it in the ground. Get it dirty. Get it wet. Put it there for the birds or the worms, but put it in the ground. Let it have a bit of heat, let it have a bit of cold. Bit of sun, bit of darkness, and what does it do? It grows. And it grows into a huge tree. What have you done with it? You've taken and put an action. With faith, with no action, is nothing. It's a bit like a battery. Till you complete the circuit, I don't care how many volts you got, how many amps you've got in your battery. It's useless until you make the circuit. I don't care how much you understand about God. I don't care so much about what you believe about God, where you've been, how much training you've had, what you understand about a whole lot of things. But if you don't join the dots, if you don't put it together, and if you don't give it some way of that understanding and that belief that you have to be able to express and to be seen and to be manifest, it's like a battery that's not connected to the light or to the motor or to the heater or the coffee machine. It's ineffective. So how much do you have? Maybe very little. Is that enough? Yeah, it's plenty. Faith does several things. Faith releases the presence of God. Faith gives you access to the promise of God. Faith allows you to be connected for the power of God to flow. Faith connects you with the comfort and the peace of God. Faith allows you to be immersed and overwhelmed with the love of God. God is who he says he is. He will do what he says he will do. And you are what he says you are. Take that little bit of faith you have. Put it out there, get it wet and dirty. The people here in Hillsborough, you're a people of faith. And I believe the message here from God this morning is that he wants you to use that faith. There are examples and testimonies of people here who have used faith and have grown in faith and given testimony to faith. And God wants us to move and put us in places that we understand what it is to walk by faith. Because that will bring him pleasure. That will bring in his presence. That will be the way that you know his power. That will be the way that you understand what the comfort and the peace of God is. And as we put that into practice, then that becomes a habit and it becomes a discipline and becomes something we're familiar with. And so that in the story there of the unjust judge and God, there runs a comparison of what God is like compared to an unjust judge. And we see the comparison there in God and the message that Jesus says, here is something that a lesson about prayer and persisting in prayer. And on the surface of that, it means that if we nag God enough, we'll get what we want because he's got to act quickly. But there's a deeper meaning and a deeper understanding in that, that if we come and we talk to God on a regular basis, if we're communicating with God on a regular basis, if it becomes our daily pattern and our daily habit, then when we find a situation where we're not sure how we should act or what we should say or what we should do, whether we should just rely on my own personal understanding or my own response, there will be another opportunity within that to be able to respond in faith and to be able to speak a word or complete an action or do something that is not normal, which I don't normally do, which means that I'm at the risk of failure. It means that I know often when God asks me to do something, one of the first things I do is say, oh yeah, God wants me to go and speak to that person. And the next thing I know, I'm making excuses why I should not. God wants us to learn and understand what it is so that when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith. And I believe God will find faith in the people of this church because you are wanting to press into God. You are wanting to know his presence. You are wanting to know his power. You're wanting to know his comfort in difficult times. You're wanting to know his peace. You're wanting to know God. And we find that through cultivating our faith. We plant our seed and we expose it to the environment around about us, which may be harsh and may be difficult, but it's the right environment that will allow our faith to grow. Can we do that? Paul prayed for his... for the church in Ephesians, he said this, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. There's a TV ad currently showing there's a young woman and she's got a smartphone with a voice unlock on it. Seen that ad? Okay, so she speaks the phone up and waltzes off dancing, singing, and everything around about, if it's closed, it opens. If it was shut, it's open. And he goes out in the car park and all the boots of the car open, and there's a goth standing there with a chain around her neck and the padlock undoes. You see, faith unlocks the presence and the power and the promises and the comfort and the love of God where you go. You got a voice unlock to your faith. Faith is a key essential for living. Faith unlocks heaven on earth. Faith opens us to experience a new reality. Faith brings revelation of Jesus Christ. Faith brings pleasure and honor and releases his blessing. Faith is more valuable than silver or gold, and faith will challenge us. I ask the music team just to come and just lead us in a few songs. And as we're singing, I just would like you to just ask this question: Lord, what's stopping me? What can I do? What are you saying to me this morning? And maybe you need to speak with someone this morning. And so as we sing the final few songs and before we close off, I just want to give that opportunity that if you want to come, you can just come to the front. Just by doing that, nothing special about coming to the front except this. Coming to the front is an act of faith. You're taking that little seed that you've got, and coming to the front is you doing something which is an act of your faith. It's using that faith and saying, God, I need clarity. God, I need help. God, I need wisdom. God, I just want to come before you for nothing else except for the simple reason that you're God, and I just want to do that, and I just want to acknowledge that this morning. So if you'd like to do that, come and we'll pray with you. And maybe you've noticed someone else around in the congregation here this morning, and you just, God is just saying to you, I want you to go to that person. I just want to pray with them. Just talk with them. Encourage you to do that. Again, that's faith. It's putting it into practice.